Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. time, can the choir sing a cappella? Praise the Father, praise the Son. Let's lift that together one more time. Would you sing with us? Praise the Father.
Praise the Father.
For you today. The tomb is empty.
Amen.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We celebrate that today. We are honored to have you here. This is round two of worship. In the early service, we had a packed out crowd to gather together, and here we are again, and we are expecting God to do the same in this hour. Why? Because we will sing praise to who He is. We will talk about the resurrected Savior. We will read scripture together. So it's an honor to have you here this morning. Thank you for being here. If you are a guest, we would ask you to take just a moment to tear off the registration you received when you came in. If you'll fill that out and then hand it to me at the table right outside the door as we leave, or you can place it in the offering box. Here's what we'll do. We have a gift to give you today, but we really want to mail a gift to you. Now, our commitment to you is this. We're not going to show up at your door. We would like to send you the gift. So if you could please do that, fill that out, and we'll send it in the mail. If you're participating online on this Resurrection Sunday, thank you. We'd like to know that you're there. If you would take a moment to text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on your screen. It'll be there for a moment. Just text the word welcome, and then we'll start a conversation between you and me on text later today. And we're thankful for you participating online. We're so thrilled to have you here today to share together. Let me make two announcements. First of all, parents, if you need it, we have what's called a family room right on the other side of this wall across the hall here behind us. And it's a room set up with a live feed of the service. There's a couch, a recliner, a place. If you just need to get away with children or anything like that, you're welcome to use that. We also have for mothers in the room, for a nursing mother's room. It's out this door and right across the hallway as well with a live feed there as well. So we don't want you to miss what's happening in here at any time. So thank you for being here, friends. Listen, I have to tell you, in that song, the words that it shares where it says, "And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By His blood and in His name, we are free in Him." Friends, we celebrate the risen Savior today. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing some resurrection songs together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that we can come and lift up praise to You. We thank You for the empty tomb. This is why we gather. This is why we come 52 weeks out of the year. Father, if it weren't for the empty tomb, this would all be for naught. We are so thankful for salvation. We are so thankful for grace. We are so thankful for new life brought through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And just as the Holy Spirit lit the flame 2,000 years ago, let that flame burn bright in this room today. My prayer is that Your Spirit would move among us and in us. And Father, that everything we do would give You glory and honor. Why do we sing praise? Why do we come and gather weekly? Why do we make disciples? Why do we do what we do? It's because up from the grave He arose. We celebrate the triumph we find in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and lift our voices. Up from the grave He rose.
Send us out low in the grave.
Low in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good.
Quietness with your eyes closed and just you and the Lord. Maybe you've been walking with Him for years, for decades. Maybe you're praying for the first time in a long time. But would you take a second right now and understand the gravity of those words when it says that even though we, as vile as He, God brought us new life. I want you to take a second with your eyes closed and think about that thief on the cross. He couldn't bring a record of church attendance. He couldn't bring an offering to God. He couldn't bring a life of good works. Honestly, he brought nothing but his sinfulness. And Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. Friends, I don't know what you brought today to church, but if it was a record of good attendance, if it was a life of good works, if it was an offering for the offering plate, here's what I would say to you. None of that brings us to salvation. It's Jesus, the grace and mercy of Jesus. So we celebrate that today, and we celebrate that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows who took your sin and my sin upon him, and in doing so, he made a way that we could be resurrection people. Before we get to the empty tomb, we have to go through the cross. So, Father God, now I speak to you as we prepare our hearts. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he was despised and rejected. We thank you that he was a man of sorrows, that the sin of the world was placed upon him. And God, my prayer is that every last one of us today would feel the gravity of not the world's sin, but of our own. And that we could stop in this moment and just thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, that just as this next song speaks about the hope we have in you because of the price Jesus paid and because of the resurrection, Father, that they could find hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends.
Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns.
Jesus grew up like any one of us. No one of consequence or beauty to make him stand out. Yet he was despised. He was rejected by the very ones he created. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but not just a man of sorrows. He was the God-man who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He endured the breaking that made us whole. Like a silent lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus went to the cross. But his fate was not left to the hands of men, for God would be glorified even in his death. This is the will of God, that by his wounds we are healed.
Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the
over me. Now my soul.
debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, it's free.
Unto thee, praise and honor unto him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you so much, worship choir and orchestra and band and Don, for leading us. I want to ask you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, if you're not sure where it is, it's in towards the end of your Bible, almost to the back. And you'll find it there. It's a letter written by Peter to the church. And so there's a great truth about the resurrection here for us. And I want us to look together at what it says. But let me start with this. And if you don't have a Bible, don't worry. It'll be on the screen overhead. When I was 13 years old, back in the early 80s, very, very early 80s, we were at my grandmother's house for Christmas, and my grandparents would love to lavish 5 or 6 gifts apiece for every grandchild, and we always enjoyed that time together, and it was fun as a family. But this one year, as my grandmother was getting on up in age, we opened, the kids all do one gift at the same time, and we all opened it up, and they were very strange. Mine was a lady's red high heel shoe, just one, and of course, we look and say, "Thank you, Granny, this is amazing." And we thought, you know, she's losing her mind at this point or what. And so we go through the rest of the evening. We open the rest of the gifts and we get to the very end. And my grandmother says, "Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. You all received one gift that was a little strange. Bring that back to me." And so we bring that back to her. And she says, "I'm going to buy it back from you." And so she reaches into her little purse and she pulls out a crisp, clean $100 bill. This is a 1982 $100 bill. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's when $100 would buy something. Now that's like a family of 5 at Chick-fil-A. But I mean, but it was big. And so it's my first one I ever had. And we were so excited. And what started out as something we did not understand became very clear in the end. And I want you to think about that thought. Think about the disciples in the scripture. What started out as something they did not understand became very clear 3 days later with the resurrection. And so what started as something that was difficult to even begin to think, how could this apply and how could this be and how could this be God's will? But then you heard the words of what the choir just sang. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah. God be praised. He is risen from the grave. So they learned soon that their hope was in the empty tomb. In fact, I'm going to give you three things to write down. Here's one. The empty tomb is our hope. Somebody say amen. If the tomb was still occupied, friends, we are wasting our time here today. It's a beautiful day. Go find something else to do. But it is the empty tomb, the risen Savior, that we come and celebrate. Listen, people tend to hate empty things. Think about it with me for a moment. Empty cereal boxes, that's never a good thing. Empty gas tanks, right? Empty wallets. I got one for you. Empty donut boxes. Come on, somebody. That's horrible. Empty toilet paper rolls. Well, come on now. All right. So that's empty nests, empty homes, empty promises. Listen, we don't like empty things, but please hear me. The empty tomb is our hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that. Listen to what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Three words I want you to remember. Here they are. Because of the empty tomb, we have an inheritance of living hope that is imperishable. Imperishable is the first word. I want you to think about what that means for a moment. My family, at the age and stage we're at, we have children that are busy doing all kinds of things. So we go from, as chauffeurs, from school to practice to another practice to sometimes two practices at once, to church, back to school, to performances, to you name it, everything. It's constantly on the move. And we have a ritual at our house on Sunday evenings. We'll sit and make a grocery list. And I love that we live in a day and age where you can just put that on the computer and someone's going to get that ready for you for the next day. And so we go the next day and we pick up our groceries and they bring them to the car and everything's great in that regard, and we're good and we're at home and we have a promise of meals together as a family. But here's what happens. Our schedules are so crazy. We try to get as many of those meals in as we can, but inevitably, at least one of those meals does not happen because of just the cares of life and the cares of the world. And so we end up opening up the refrigerator on Sunday as we're cleaning out to get ready for new groceries on Monday, and we throw away a bag of wishful thinking. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've probably done it before as well. It's because food perishes. And I want you to think about food. If there's something in your refrigerator right now, maybe something that's starting to perish or wilt or show some age and things like that, if you're looking at that and you can picture it in your mind, that's what I want you to think about this word. When the scripture talks about that we have a living hope, an inheritance that does not perish. It can't. It's not going to perish. Listen, that is good news for you. Because you and I, in our lives, the cares of the world will get in the way and good intentions will come along and we will do things that are not always honoring to the Lord. But know this, that his salvation for you, if you know Jesus, he grabbed you, he holds on to you, and it's an inheritance that will not perish. It's secure in him. Look at the next phrase. It says this, also because of the empty tomb, we have an inheritance of living hope that is undefiled. It won't get dirty. Everything you wear will someday get dirty. You guys look good in your Easter best. All of us, I'm going to include myself in that. We all look good, okay? So we look nice. Everything looks great. What you're wearing, wear it long enough, it'll get dirty. Amen? It will. Everything you own eventually will get dirty. Our very bodies will be dirty soon enough. Listen, last Sunday, we had 61 children ages 5 and under back in our nursery area during the worship services. That's a lot of little kids. And I'm certain today, between what we had in the early service and now, it's a good bit more than that today. Here's what I want to say to you. Those children look so special this morning when you dressed them and left the house. They have on Easter outfits. They look wonderful. It's great. And moms, you are just hoping that they're going to come out of there looking great to go to the photo spot, have your little family photo taken. You have lost your mind. It is not. Listen, it's like some of them are going to come out of there and you're going to think we've been feeding them Cheerios dipped in chocolate syrup, okay? And we're not, but it's just going to happen. That's life. Why? Because children will prove to you that you can't go through life undefiled. They will get dirty. It will cling to them. It will come to them very simply and very easily. But it doesn't take children to live it out. You and I, if we examine our own lives, we struggle to live undefiled. But the scripture's clear that you have an inheritance of living hope because of the empty tomb that is undefiled. It has never once been defiled in any way. God holds it secure for you. That is awesome. Look at the last word together very quickly. The last word is this. It's an empty tomb that we have an inheritance of living hope that is unfading. It won't fade. It won't diminish at all. So let me ask you, how is it that your inheritance of living hope is kept imperishable, undefiled, and unfading? Well, here's what 1 Peter just told us. Did you catch it? It says it's God's power is guarding it for you and for me. God himself is guarding your inheritance and is guarding your living hope. And by the way, Jesus Christ is your living hope. And so God guards what he has done in your life, in mine, the power of the empty tomb. And so if we're followers of Jesus, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. There's nothing you could do to take that gift of grace and make it perish, make it fade, make it defile. Now, there's plenty in your life that you could do the way we live that would be defiled or perishing. But if he has brought you new life and salvation, friends, you need to know that's based on him and not you. Now, it will seek to cause us to want to live for him and honor him, and we want to. But Jesus is our living hope. So how did that work? 2,000 years ago, he goes to the cross. He himself is beaten, he is bruised, and he is crucified for your sins and mine. Last night, I came up here and in my office to kind of go over my notes one more time. I knew it would be too busy this morning to do so, so I wanted to read through the scripture one more time. And as I was sitting there and I began to think about what Jesus had done for us, it struck me of just how much it cost him to keep us from experiencing the wrath of God. We think about the resurrection and we're so excited for that. But friends, what Jesus went through for you and for me, there's no words to describe, but I'll do my best for a second. I got to thinking about how many people on the planet have ever lived, because I truly believe that Jesus died for the sins of all mankind. When the scripture says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I believe that with all my heart. So that goes back to the first person, to the last person who will ever be born before the Lord comes back and this world is no more. So what I would say to you is this. I did a little studying. I Googled it. Google's always true, right? So I Googled it, and it says that approximately 70 to 80 billion people have walked planet Earth at some point. And if you kind of do the math and think back through it, now that we have about 8 billion people on the planet, that sort of makes sense, thinking through the logic of it. Here's what I want you to focus on for a moment. All the sin of all 80 billion people who have ever been, and however many billions are yet to come, all of that sin was placed upon Jesus. Don't scroll past that real fast. Have you ever had a lustful thought? Multiply it times 80 billion, it was placed on Jesus. Have you ever acted in a sinful way and brought shame to yourself? Multiply that times 80 billion, it was placed upon Jesus. Have you ever had a fit of rage or anger or spoken a word or had an action that you shouldn't have? Multiply that times 80 billion people. on and on you can think. And all of that was placed on Jesus. So what I would remind us is it wasn't the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the spear in his side, the ripped flesh, the thorns on his head. That was not his greatest pain. The Son of God, who had never known sin, had all of our sin placed on him miraculously. And it was a horrible miracle, a miracle of torture and pain. And to top it all off, even worse, the scripture says that God the Father could no longer look at him, the Son. And so the full weight of the wrath of God was on Jesus in that moment. So I looked up real quick some scriptures. They're not going to be on the screen. This was all last night. And I want to read just a couple to you to think about what Jesus did for us. Picture this. Matthew 27, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Jesus was fulfilling prophecy from the 22nd Psalm by saying that, but Jesus was feeling the weight of my sin and your sin when he said it. Why did God forsake Jesus? Because of me. God forsook Jesus because of you. The weight of the world. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a payment for our sins. 1 John 4:10, in this, or excuse me, 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Romans 5, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, for God has not destined you and me for wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Here's the one, this one gets me every time. Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you catch that? It says that it was Jesus' chastisement that lets you have peace in your life. It was his wounds that allow you to be healed in life. We are the sheep, we've gone astray, and God laid on Jesus the sin of all of us. Please feel the weight of that today. And I want you to know that everything in the scripture indicates that Jesus' love for you is so intact that if he had to do it all again, he would. But he doesn't have to. Jesus died once for all, that all might be saved. He made a way that you and I could come to salvation in him. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, you might be 8 years old, or you might be 88 years old, or a little more, or a little less, or somewhere in between. But can I say to you, it is no coincidence that you are here today. You came at the invitation of a family member or a friend. You came at the request of someone else. You came because you wanted to be in God's house in worship. But I'm here to tell you, friend, it's been a divine setup from the start. And what do I mean? It's God himself, the one who took the iniquity of all mankind and placed your sin on Jesus. That very God has moved heaven and earth that you might be here today. Now that may sound overdramatic, but I mean it with all my heart. You are not an accident, and you being here is not an accident. So today is the day that you can receive the salvation of God. Maybe you've been holding on to your own past or your lack of belief, or maybe your own shame. Maybe you think you've done something that makes you too dirty. Listen, I love the song that says, there's nothing too dirty that he can't make worthy. We're lost in his mercy. We are clean. Listen, friends, there's nothing you've ever done that God can't forgive. So if you're today here saying, I don't know that I can give it to him. Friend, today's the day. Trust him right now. You don't need me to make you come down here and repeat some prayer after me. It's just your heart and your mouth saying to God, it's you and your mind saying to God, I need you. I've tried life on my own. Save me. Change me. Come and live with me and in me. Just ask him to do a work. Use your own words. It's really about the heart, not the words, honestly. And we repent. What does repent mean? Repent means if I am thinking one thing, to repent is to change your mind. Then after you change your mind, you change your direction. That's what repenting is. So you can repent and receive Jesus today by changing your mind, saying, I've tried this on my own, but I need Jesus. There's no greater day you could give your life to the Lord than today. So if you're here right now and you need to give your life to Jesus, just stop. Don't even listen to me for the next couple of minutes. And right now, you just in your heart and in your mind, pray to God and ask him to save you, to give you new life. Seek to honor and live for him. Ask him to help and make you new. He has to do the work. You can't do it. But listen, he comes to give you a new inheritance. Listen, if I could promise you today that you could have the inheritance of the wealthiest millionaire in Albertville today, and all you have to do is just in your heart believe that this millionaire really wants to give it to you, and then stop and ask him to provide that for you in some certain way and to give it to you, and then it would happen just that simple. There's not a one of us that wouldn't line up for that. I mean, it's free. It sounds great. Listen, salvation is so much more than money. That's horrible to even relate it that way. It is so much more. What God offers you is new life, peace, redemption, an undefiled life, an imperishable life, an unfading life. He offers that to you, and he offers it as freely and as surely as someone could offer you another gift. And so today we stop and say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Save me. Would you do that right now in your own mind and in your own life? Would you do so? For those of us that do know him, here's what I want to remind you. The reason you have him today is because of the empty tomb. You see, Jesus is our living hope. And when Jesus is our living hope, it means that he is alive still today. He's still at work in your life and mine. And so I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus, but maybe you have, the truth is you've got an inheritance that's not fading. You've got an inheritance in God that is undefiled. You've got an inheritance in God that's imperishable. But the truth is, the way you've lived your life, maybe you're struggling some lately. I've been there, friends. If that's the case and you would say, nobody would call me undefiled, can I say something to you? And I mean it with all my heart. If you're walking with some shame today and you think no one would dare say I'm undefiled, can I say to you, if you know Jesus, he says you're undefiled. He says it. Now that doesn't mean you're not walking in some sin. But it means positionally, he has saved you and has given you a living hope inheritance that's held secure, guarded by God himself, it says. So now all you've got to decide to do is walk in that. The best way you can walk in that, I'll be honest, is to walk to the front of this room. You say, why would I have to come down front? There's nothing more magical about the steps up here than the pew you're sitting in. But I ask you to come in humility and boldness and get on your knees and say, God, I come before you. I want to be undefiled. I want to live what you've already done in my life. I want to live it out. I recommit my life to you. Maybe for you, it's the imperishable. Maybe you realize the cares of this world are getting in the way. And so you're just missing your relationship with the Lord in a strong way. Can I encourage you? Do the same. Make an altar at your seat or come walking down here. Just you and the Lord. You don't have to have me do anything for you. And just say, God, I don't want the cares of the world to get in the way of me serving you and knowing you and walking in your peace and joy. I want to be back with you in right relationship with you. Maybe you've got a family member you're praying that they would come to Christ. Come and pray for them. Maybe you yourself just gave your life to the Lord. I'll be here. Kale will be here. We would love to just pray with you and to help you be sure about that and answer any questions and set up a meeting for later. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. We've got one family who I'll be announcing that's joining a little later. Easter's a great Sunday to do that. Whatever God is saying to you, if we can pray for you, you come. If you have a need, you come. But here's what we're going to do. The message was short today. Wanted to get you out early on Resurrection Sunday, but I wanted to get right to the point, and that is this. The scripture says we have a living hope. So here's what we're going to do the last 10 minutes. We're going to sing and experience the living hope. This little chorus that we've sung for a few years, it says this: Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. So if you need to come pray, you come pray. If I can pray with you, you come. You have a decision to make, you come. But otherwise, would you sing and lift your voice in praise and honor God that He is our living hope? And let's commit that to Him. Father God, thank you that Jesus is our living hope. Speak to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. Join us.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Lift us up, hallelujah, and hallelujah, praise the one who set me free, hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me, you have broken every chain, there's salvation. Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
To the last verse, it says, then came the morning that sealed the promise. We can't leave on this Resurrection Sunday without lifting this truth to the Lord. So would you lift it up together? Let's sing it together.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on.
Sing that again. Then came the morning. Lift it up.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to ring out of the silence. The roaring lion.
Hallelujah, one last.
There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living home.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.